King Day on Monday, we'll have sunny skies and a high of 80. Monday night, it'll be clear on low 53. Tuesday continues to be sunny and warm with a high near 80. Wednesday, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 80. Again, for this afternoon, we'll have sunshine, our high 82. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050 KCAA.
This is the KCAA Community Calendar. Man of La Mancha, the Broadway musical interpretation of the world's first modern novel, Don Quixote of La Mancha, makes its Riverside premiere for two nights only on Friday, January 31st and Saturday, February 1st at 8 p.m. as part of the Fox Performing Arts Center 2013-2014 Broadway series. Winner of five Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Man of La Mancha tells the story of the mad knight Don Quixote as a play within a play, performed by Cervantes and his fellow prisoners as he awaits a hearing with the Spanish Inquisition. For more information, visit www.foxriversidelive.com. The Fox Performing Arts Center is located at 3801 Mission Inn Avenue in Riverside. And that's your KCAA Community Calendar.
Welcome to Isla Earth. It took 10 years, but one of the country's worst toxic waste sites is clean. The Rocky Flats nuclear production site in Colorado built plutonium triggers used in nuclear weapons, and the four decades of work left behind 12 tons of plutonium waste, which is really, really dangerous for all of us and for the environment. The site was shut down in 1989 after a dramatic raid by the FBI and U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Since then, $7 billion has been spent to rid 360 separate toxic sites of extensive chemical contamination and plutonium waste. And now, the government has declared Rocky Flats clean. The once deadly dump site will now become a wildlife refuge, home to deer, elk, and prairie dogs, as well as other animals and plants. In fact, the refuge will help conserve unique tallgrass prairie habitat that's found in that part of Colorado. While it's good news that nature can move back to Rocky Flats, the best news will be when manufacturers avoid making such a mess in the first place. Learn more about how much it costs and what it takes to clean up toxic sites through discovery links at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy through its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
KCAA, the Inland Talk Express, presents Cal State San Bernardino basketball. This Saturday night, January 18th at 7:30, the Coyotes take on Sonoma State University. Live from Seawolf Gym in Rohnert Park. I'm Mitch McClellan. Join Brett Malik and me as the Coyotes meet the Gators in a CCAA conference game. Cal State San Bernardino basketball broadcasts are brought to you by the Hilton Garden Inn San Bernardino, the U.S. Army, the Days Inn San Bernardino, Anheuser-Busch, Hyatt Place Ontario Mills, Baker's Drive-Thru Restaurants, Breakmasters, Fairfield Inn & Suites San Bernardino, the CSUSB Alumni Association, Country Inn & Suites Ontario Mills, and the Coyote Athletic Association. That's Cal State San Bernardino basketball action this Saturday night at 7:30, live from Rohnert Park, on your home for Coyote basketball, KCAA 1050 AM, the Inland Talk Express.
If the truth hurts, then AM 1050 KCAA can be a real pain.
Wow, it's January 18th. I'm shocked it's already 2014, people. Here we are, halfway through the month of January, but you know what? So far, you've had some great episodes here on Constitution Radio. Welcome to the show. My name is Douglas V. Gibbs with you each week here on Saturday, KCAA AM 1050, the Inland Talk. What was it? The Inland Talk Express, the station that leaves no listener behind?
We have many mantras.
Yeah, well, you know, they stopped leaving listeners behind when they brought me into the station. That's what happened.
Indeed.
Now we've got Dave Levine. He's been on, a month or two. So now we're like two peas in this pod. But, I love being here. KCAA is a great station. So welcome, everybody. Facebook.com/Douglas V. Gibbs. PoliticalPistachio.com. DouglasVGibbs.com. ConstitutionAssociation.com. And we might as well add Mobius Strip Press to that, our guest today. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Welcome to the show. This is the show that goes through the issues through the lens of the United States Constitution. And as always, Joe, this Joe, we got like three or four. You know,
hey, I was thinking, why don't you have a few more websites?
Well, I used to have 12 of them.
Not a surprise.
Actually, I do have more. I just don't name them all. Like there's, for example, there's TemeculaConstitutionClass.blogspot.com.
I knew you were done.
Oh, yeah. There's political pistachio videos. Oh, yeah. I've got all kinds. Yeah, don't get
unfortunately, you only have an hour show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But speaking of Joe's, you remember Joe, producer Joe that would come in, the guy used to film some of the stuff I did.
Well, what am I, not a producer, hey?
Yeah, well, no, you're just the lousy engineer and the comic relief.
Oh, great. That's a lot.
And the voice of sanity.
Well, that Joe just tried to call me by video phone, and I couldn't figure out how to get the video function on my phone to work. So Joe, if you're listening, call in. Say hi. Welcome to the show. Oh, brother. What a way to start the show.
You kids and your technology.
You kids and your technology. You know, I started on the wrong foot. Let me start on the proper foot. We the people of the United States, in order to form more perfect... Is that much better? You like that?
Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Now,
guess what this show's about.
Now, Alex Ferguson at the other end of the table with me. Alex, you are definitely an asset, so the drive was okay. You got things going on. We've got an article now of Alex's we're going to be putting in Constitution News Quarterly, and this is the nick of time since tonight's the deadline.
Terrific.
Terrific. And then with us is G.R. Mobley. G.R. Mobley is an author, publisher, patriot. I mean, I can throw all kinds of other words in there, too, but I just don't say those words on air. No, I'm kidding. I love GR. He's a good guy. And he and I, for the most part, agree on pretty much everything. Sometimes we think we disagree, then we realize we just worded it differently. Have you noticed that, Garen?
Oh, yeah. It's a constant battle.
Yeah, it's a constant battle for – yeah, now, yeah, point your mouth towards the – yeah, well, there we go.
I'm
yeah, because see, at the Los Angeles radio stations, like everybody's got a mic like the engineer does. Here, he does.
Oh, so we don't have an omnidirectional. It's
we've got these.
Correct.
Yeah, he's the only really important person. They pretend I'm important, see, but really he's the important.
So he pays the bills.
And well, notice it's doing nothing for the quality of my voice.
This is true. But anyway, and the reason why we're excited about having Mr. Mobley on the air with us is because his book really fits into what we're trying to do here. Because the idea behind this show and the Constitution Association and the classes and all that is to turn things around. And I do believe that a large part of that is educating people. But once the people are educated, once we have an idea something's wrong and we start kind of gathering into groups, what is the method? What is the action that we take? What is it that we actually do to start turning things around and get this country back to, well, constitutional restoration? And that's really where Mr. Mobley comes in with his book. So, and now remember, we're going to have to understand here that we have gone so far away from the Constitution that we have to do things in baby steps. But the problem is we don't have time. So how do you travel all this ground with such a little amount of time that we've got? And Mr. Mobley, that's the first question. I mean, we've got mountains to climb. We've got a distance to cover to get this thing turned around that's looking worse day by day. What we used to have was a bunch of Democrats that were kind of an irritation. Now what we've got is a straight-out Marxist in office surrounded by a bunch of little Marxists running around. And he's gotten to the point where he doesn't even care about Congress. I've got a pen. I've got a, you heard him. You know, it's what's going on here? How do we turn this around in such a short amount of time that we've got?
Well, one of the fundamental premises that I'll just rephrase what you kind of said is reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And the problem, as you've stated, is we're just not equally informed. And my my intent in trying to write the books that I've written and trying to get this word out is to try to get people to at least a level of equal information to understand when we started drifting off the Constitution, and it's not necessarily 100 years ago. It goes well back before 1843 when we literally violated the Constitution by establishing a role, responsibility, and power to the federal government.
Well, heck, it goes back to the 1790s for that matter.
Well, yes, they did all sorts of little things.
Implied powers and such.
It became the first time in 1843 when they stood up the Department of Interior that they actually started bleeding at a constant rate from the American citizens by creating a role, responsibility, and power and executing that without the authorization and enumeration within the Constitution by going through the Article 5 process. And therefore, they became a leech upon –
Okay, now I'm
going to
stop you there, right there for a second. We're going to talk about what he means by the Article 5 process. I know those of you who are longtime listeners and studiers of what I talk about, you guys know what we're talking about. The rest of you will go, what? I even saw Joe, this look went across his face. And he's
it sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. He either didn't know what we're talking about or he has a lot of gas, one of the two. Now, that said, I want you listeners to participate. I want you to pose questions to Mr. Mobley, 888-909-1050. I want to see these lines light up. Make it happen. 888-909-1050. Now, okay, so Article 5 process. I know the answer, obviously. I'm asking you for their benefit. What do you mean Article 5 process? That has something to do with the Constitution?
Yeah, so if a congressman or a senator – and actually all of these bills really need to originate in Congress if it's going to be a tax-creating bill. But if it's going to be an amendment process, then fundamentally both houses have to agree by two-thirds majority. And then once they've agreed and signed these off to the president, then the president signs it and sends it to the state for ratification to get three-fourths majority, and then it becomes an enumerated power. Once you have an enumerated power, it goes into the Constitution. They execute, and they actually now have the authority by the states.
Never mind. I'll do it myself. There's a call, man. He wasn't paying attention to the phone. I was asking you to go tell him.
It's a very small light.
Yeah. I was like, I'm watching it blink. I'm looking at you, looking at your screen. But okay, let's back up a little bit. So Article 5 of the United States Constitution is the part of the Constitution that gives the instructions on how to amend the Constitution, which is very different than some constitutions. For example, the Roman Republic, they couldn't be amended for 100 years at one point, things like that. So this gives the ability to make changes to the Constitution that's necessary, and gave the instructions on how to do it. Now, the average person says, well, yeah, Congress proposes it, then the states ratify it, and half people don't even know that part, and then it changes, it's added, right? That's it. We're done, right? That's the only way?
Correct.
Well, it's not the only way.
Well, there is another process for amending the Constitution, but let me not necessarily clarify that you're wrong. On the Roman Republic and in their Constitution, and the same thing with the British Constitution, the sovereigns were not the people out of the states within the Republic. The sovereigns were either the Senate itself, the King, Parliament.
Right, of course.
And so in our Constitutional Republic, sovereignty remained with the people at the states.
Right. Well, the mixed Constitution that Montesquieu talked about, and actually Polybius had the same idea, same concept way back when Rome conquered Greece. When I was reading Montesquieu, partly under your recommendation, I was like, well, this reads like Polybius. So if you go back to Polybius, Polybius was a Greek historian, and when Rome conquered Greece, then he wound up becoming – he was deported to Rome, and he admired the Roman system because Greece was more based on democracy, and Rome was more of a republic. So then he started mixing the ideas. But before it could really totally take foot, he died, and Rome started heading back into destroying itself. But, okay, so we're talking about amendments, but also really even beyond that, what you're getting at is conventions. But before we do that, all right, we have a caller. Go ahead. Bring the caller on.
His name is John.
Yes, hello?
His name is John. John, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Doug. Yeah, I'm a regular listener. And I just had a question for G.R. Mobley. I just attended something called Riverside County United Communities meeting this morning. It's a meeting of concerned citizens in the Riverside area, a lot of unincorporated areas, but cities as well. The issue we had today was communication media. The media is not addressing the issues of the common people, and it seems like more and more they're under control of you know, they don't really report the news that's happening that we are interested in. And so I wanted to ask J.R. Mobley if that was what can we do there? I mean, what does he have some suggestions or solutions?
Well, actually, Doug and I just talked about this prior to the show, and the best thing you can do to the media is shut them down. If you don't feel like ABC, NBC, CBS, and their regional affiliates, like in L.A., San Diego, and so forth, is not addressing violations of the Constitution and some of these really burning, tyrannical matters that are actually burning us and marginalizing our Constitution, then you need to go and literally, instead of marching on Washington, you would have far better effect in marching on KABC, KNBC, and so forth. That way, somebody's going to come and go, well, why are you doing this?
Don't march on KCAA. I'm here.
If you remember the radicals of the 60s, they actually shut down the media station, and then they started utilizing that, and they became pawns as a part of the process. And fundamentally, though, media has always been, it's not just media, journalism has always been problematic, because even back during the Revolution, there were newspapers that were basically censoring or keeping out information. So this is something we've always had this problem with. So either you ignore it or you head it off by basically shutting them down.
Well, The media, obviously, they work to change the truth. They want to hide the truth. I mean, Alex and I were talking earlier, and all of us were talking about Vietnam earlier. And Alex, I'm sure you could even give us an insight on what was going on with the media and Vietnam even, where they were literally changing what it was all about, what was going on, showing certain things and not keeping it in context and so forth.
Well, operant expression is when you hear these reporters and new reporters say, I wanted to get into journalism so I could make a difference. They believe that their job is to change society, that their job is to advocate for a certain political position. So when the Vietnam War came along, they were on the other side. For instance, there was a colonel, Colonel An, I think his name was, in Saigon, he wasn't known as a colonel. He was a newspaper reporter. He was working for Time magazine. He was the authority on the Vietnam War for years. And it turns out after the war, the guy was a North Vietnamese spy. And all the newspaper men rallied to his defense and said he was a wonderful reporter. Well, sure, he agreed with him.
Well, John, let me.
I'm here. It's local. It's local. We have to.
Absolutely.
And local media distribution sites or whatever and affect them.
John, just let me get this in because I think we're heading towards a break. At least that's what the engineer was showing with his fingers. It's a Herculean effort to try to go to the D.C. Mall and to march in D.C. It's a Herculean effort for some to just get up to Sacramento. It's a pretty easy effort to drive across town and basically show up at the TV stations, the radio stations, or even at the newspapers and getting people engaged. And I'm sure Doug would be very happy and ecstatic to get out there to cover that, because you need some media to cover it, and those that are covering it will actually start getting the attention as to why these organizations and institutions are being shut down.
Well, funny thing about my journey here to a radio station too is I've met and networked with a lot of media people along the way, and I know a few of them, but Press Enterprise and so forth. So yeah, John, before we go to break, did you have anything else for?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. We got another caller, but we're going to hang on until after the break for this caller. Don't go anywhere and listen to this stuff. These are the people that bring this show to you. We'll be right back.
KCAA.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at constitutionquest.com.
If it weren't for the Constitution, nothing would get done. Constitution Speaker Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
Ready to begin that project? FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
Listen to AM 1050 KCAA. It makes people wonder what you're up to.
And welcome back. Constitution Radio with Douglas B. Gibbs, KCAA AM 1050. We also rebroadcast on KCXL Kansas City and WHTH Youngstown, Ohio. So welcome to all of you listeners listening later. KCXL rebroadcast on Tuesday mornings, WHTH, when they could fit it in. Welcome to you listeners. If you want to listen live at any time, kcaaradio.com, kcaaradio.com at 2 o'clock Pacific for our show. And you can also go to douglasvgibbs.com, hit the Constitution Radio link so that you can find the link to the podcast page to listen to any episode in history. And also you can listen by phone at 832-999-1050. That's not the number to call in to talk. That's just to listen. And then, of course, there's also, if you go to kcaaexpress.com, you can get the app for your smartphone. Okay, we got 888-909-1050 if you want to call in, and I urge you to call in and participate. This is a good stuff. This is important stuff. This is turning our nation around. This is figuring out, okay, fine, we're educated. We know we understand the Constitution. Now what? What do we do to turn this nation around? We have a caller who's going to ask probably a question right along those lines, so go ahead and bring her up. Jane, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Jane. Hello, Doug. Yeah, I want to address state sovereignty. The states delegated certain powers to the federal government, and the federal government is not supposed to be doing any more than that. And I believe that if our state governors and the leaders understood our Constitution and what the state powers are, I think that would give us a real big shot to undoing what the Obama administration is doing, and we could easily get our country back in order, you know, because I think states really wield a lot more power than people really understand that they do.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is the way to turn Washington around is to get our house in order locally.
Yes, from state locally, but at this point, the states are very valuable, I believe, in this pursuit, because they do wield more power than people think that they do. And, you know, they can nullify. They don't have to do anything that the federal government tells them to do unless what has been given to them by the state, in our Constitution.
Well, Mr. Mobley, see, I have a knowledgeable audience, don't I?
Yes, you do.
So what do you have to say to Jane about state sovereignty and what's our tactic? What's our strategy?
Well, so I'm not sure if you've read my book, but the basic question, whose Constitution is it anyway? Actually, the answer to that question is that it's the states. The states actually do have the sovereignty to dictate whether a role, responsibility, or power can be enumerated or delegated to our general government, what people call the federal government. And so the problem has been, since our framers were no longer in office way back at the beginning of the 18th century, or I should say the 19th century, 1800s, that the states really became complacent because the general government stayed within its boundaries for five presidencies. And so, or for the most part, they stayed within their boundaries and they started drifting, providing jobs, programs, and those types of things that actually In all honesty, if you look at the Department of Interior that I talked about earlier in 1843, there was a necessity to have some type of program, but the fact of the matter is the general government failed to follow the constitutional process, and the states were sleeping and didn't hold them to that. And so you can see for a long time the states have been asleep.
The states were sleeping. They are sleeping, but it's gone beyond sleeping. I mean, it's like the Walking Dead here.
Yeah, but we're at a point, Doug, where we actually see our greatest marketeer is the general government. By their assertion of thuggery with the IRS, by their spying, by DOJ, NSA, and so forth, there's not anybody on the Democratic side or the Republican side that has, I would say, a rational brain would think that that's a good thing. And as a matter of fact, the empirical data through history has proven that as you see a government centralizing power and doing these types of things, they're very quick to basically swing to the far extreme by shutting all liberties down and taking away the sovereignty and centralizing that into despotism.
Now, Jane, you're one to pass out state constitutions. How important is that state constitution to you? And then we'll ask Mr. Mobley what he thinks about your tendency to hand them out.
Well, like I said, the states are the most, I think, the most important entity here. And when people don't even understand the U.S. Constitution, I guess we can't expect them to understand the state constitution.
Well, they're shocked that there is a state constitution.
Yeah, and that's what I'm finding.
I fell under the U.S. Constitution.
There are a lot of people, which shocked me, that don't even have any idea that the states have constitutions. And so education is the key thing, and I think that people need to study both. The state constitution is important, and it, too, is being subverted by... Like, for instance, in California, I call them the commies up in Sacramento. Our state, they're not following our state constitution. They're subverting it, just like the federal government subverting our U.S. constitution. And until people understand both concepts, it's going to be a real hard fought. It's already a hard-fought battle, but once you gain knowledge... at the state level, especially right now, things can happen.
Well, then
it's
you, then you know how to
fight. People need to
fight.
Understand. You know, they need to understand their constitutions, both state and U.S. I mean, that's a big thing for me.
So my book, my first book, is, and I believe it's an irrefutable argument for the convening of a convention. Now, there's different types of conventions. There's a convention for the amendment, which we've been talking about, the Article 5 process. There's also a constitutional convention where the states can convene and basically rewrite the government itself from ground up or parts of.
And people call that the con.
Right. And keeping in mind that any of these things that make that type of change to the existing constitution and government requires a 3/4 plus majority to basically approve that type of change.
A state majority, right? Majority of the states.
Right. 3/4 of the states. So my submission and in my argument is what I call republic review. If you look at a lot of the powers that never followed the Article 5 process where there was 3/4 states, and a great case in point is the Department of Transportation, because I use that and I drive that home throughout my book because of Madison's excellent elucidations within his veto in 1817, where he states that the commerce, the general welfare, the necessary and proper, and the supremacy clauses do not give the general government any power to take on any new role, responsibility, or power. So anyway, the Republic Review is getting the states.
Now that's a play on the words of judicial review, right?
Correct.
Okay. So instead of the judiciary having the review power over the Constitution, it's really up to the states, and they are the Republic. So Republic Review. So just for the audience, so they understand.
So in the Constitution, it says you need 2/3 of the states to convene. So I've just basically set that measure of 34 states. If we can get 34 states together, then we're kind of compliant with that process.
Right.
And then if we get 25%, and that Doug and I have done the beer math, and it's only 13 states to reject any role, responsibility, or power, whether that be Obamacare or whether that be the Department of Transportation. If you get the 25% measure, 13 states, and how many states was it, Doug, that fought against Obamacare?
Well, 26 took it to court.
Okay, so had they just pulled together and had a state or a constitution?
Well, actually, this is good because, see, understand, this is playing off the concept of the Article 5 Convention, but this is not an Article 5 Convention. So this is not something that the Congress has to call or something like that.
Correct.
This is something the states are doing themselves.
Because they are inseparable in this union.
Well, they are the final arbiters of the Constitution,
yes.
Not the courts. And it's like I explained to people, when those 26 states took Obamacare to court, it really was a waste of taxpayer money. I mean, think about it. You're using the federal government's courts to take the federal government to court? I mean, that's asinine.
And guess what your outcome is going to be? And that's the same thing, Jane, when people want to march on Washington, D.C. over this issue or that issue. And I believe there's been talks about the IRS march and there's a spring coming forth.
Right.
If the spring is going to occur at the state level, then I'm all for that because you will see a wave that actually can quickly rise within, I believe, 30 states immediately.
Yeah. And state there's some through state. Right. So what you're saying is quit marching on Washington. March on your state. Get your state in line.
Absolutely.
And they get enough states in line. Then they work together to take care of the federal government. That's what you're saying.
Correct. And in my second book, I actually have a graphical map that shows that there's really 29 states, almost 30 states that are already aligned with the fact that they're against all the federal tyranny and they're already against the Real ID Act, Obamacare, and so forth and so on. So those states, it's just a matter of somebody just singing the song. And they go, you know what? Well, why do we sing that song? And get together, coalescing into a convention, and then start literally peeling off all of these unconstitutional RRPs. But there needs to be some rational thought here because there are some services that I think merit the need for the union, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the federal government has to hold that responsibility, role, or power. They do very well on foreign and fighting wars, national security. They do really well on national security. But
yeah, just ask the nun and the five-year-old that's getting frisked at the airport.
But when it comes to domestic affairs, I'm not an advocate for the guys who carry the guns and fight the wars to be the ones who are dictating what's being taught in the classroom or how the highway system is to be managed or even the airways and so forth.
No, that's up to each state. That's an individual state responsibility.
But there's nothing.
Because the states are supposed to be individuals like you and I.
Absolutely. But there's nothing to keep the states from allowing a Continental Congress for infrastructure or a committee.
Well, sure.
And so that they can have
Let's go through the right steps.
But it doesn't have to be under the federal jurisdiction.
Right, right, right.
We can create up several federal polities to do different things. And by doing that, you'll actually break apart the cesspool of lobbyists and making it easy for them to have their hands in everything if you started spreading out these federal polities across the republic.
Well, Jane, you brought up a great subject about state sovereignty. Did he satisfy you there, or do you have another question?
I understand. But there's one other issue is that, you know, as far as state sovereignty goes, and I don't remember if it was 70s or the 80s, but I remember in California, I think it was the federal government wanted every state to lower their speed limit to 55 so we'd save gas and blah, 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 and some
right.
states balked at it.
Right.
But some states, they bullied these states saying, all right, well, then if you don't do the 55 miles an hour, we're going to pull your federal funding for highways, and so then these states cave. This is my point. Our governors, our state legislatures, our leaders, unless they understand the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution and what powers that they have, the federal government is going to keep bullying and bullying and bullying, and it's like our sheriffs. They are elected. So they can tell if a federal government agency wants to come into a county, they can say, heck, nope, you know. So even the sheriffs wield more power in certain things than the federal government.
Well, the problem,
and this is what people need to understand.
Well, the problem you're bringing up is the fact that the states are taking federal money.
Yes.
And then the federal government's using that to extort the states.
Extortion, yes.
Extortion, okay.
Exactly.
Well, so my question is, why do we give them the money in the first place?
Well, because
or at least
what,
at that
what
level.
Was that, the, was it the 17th Amendment?
16th Amendment?
What,
are you talking
the
about
amendment
taxes?
That, the income tax,
yeah.
Yes.
1913.
Yeah, 1913, okay, 16th
right.
Amendment. Well, right. Well, and here that even goes beyond that. But you're right. I'm waiting for a state to outlaw the federal withholding, and say, you know
yeah.
what, we'll give you the money as you need it, like it was in the original, you know, based on census.
Strictly,
and that's the way it should be.
Strictly against
the way it was supposed to be, based on census. But now, you know, they've hijacked that too. We need to get rid of the federal income tax and you know let the states give the. This indirect income tax is the way it's supposed to be, but now it's a direct income tax, and that's not what our founding fathers envisioned.
So if we acknowledge the fact that the source of revenue comes from the states, that this basically the general government turns around and uses that as leverage, incentive, or bullying,
yes.
then by coalescing into a convention and identifying the percentages of, because you can easily look at the outlays and say 2/3 of the general government is unconstitutional, dare I say that. And I think
yeah.
Doug has actually gone as far as to say something like 3/4. And I think reasonable people equally informed seldom
disagree. How about 99.9%?
Well, so they do have a role and responsibility for national security, for fighting
right.
the wars. Now, at this point in time, we've maintained and managed a armed forces, and I'm not opposed to that, considering the dangers in the world out
there. And that's
there.
Their job, is to protect our
absolutely.
Our
well, sure,
country.
The common defense, right.
Yes, common defense.
However, as you start peeling back these RRPs, that is what I call them, role, responsibility, and powers, then these states within this constitutional convention or this convention can then say, you know, we're going to start defunding, and we're going to withhold that much money from you because – you're exercising powers that we've never given you.
Right.
It's kind of like, and I love using this example for a landscaper. Let's say you've contracted with a landscaper and you had an ambiguous contract that said, you need to make me, landscaper Doug here, you need to make my yard the most beautiful yard on the street, and I don't care what it costs. And you go to work the next day, you come home, and all of his equipment is inside your house, and he's pushed out all your beautiful furniture, wall hangings, everything, and it's basically set up shop within your home. And you say, hey, I didn't say you could do that. And you said, absolutely you did, because you gave me all power on your property to make it the most beautiful property. You didn't say I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at what the framers said, and if you go through the ratification debates, the Federalist Papers, and all of our founding documents, they did not create an ambiguous contract. They created a very specific, limited, and defined contract. And so it's time for the parents to get back in the room and basically pull back these powers from their child government.
The parents being the states.
Correct. And the child government being
now,
the general government.
Now, before, but hang on just a second, because Alex, I when you said, Jane, the commies in Sacramento, I was half expecting Alex to say something. Because, you know, Alex on this show, for those of you longtime listeners, he's always talking about the communists that have worked their way into our government. And the moment you said commies in Sacramento, I was expecting Alex to jump right on that.
Actually, I went back to W.C. Fields.
Oh?
He said you cannot cheat an honest man. And that's what's happened with our states. The states, and I've been wanting to bring this up for some time during the discussion, the states have been taking, greedily taking, federal money for like you say, highways, for schools, for all kinds of things that they have no constitutional role in, and yet then they turn around, as you say, and they say, okay, we will withdraw this money. If the states had realized that the money that they're bribing them with comes from the states originally, but it's been
right.
laundered through a mob operation, then they would
yep.
they would have known better than to put themselves in that kind of jeopardy. We have to kick loose federal funding and go back to state funding. It's our money.
Well, matter of fact, on the Facebook
right.
Facebook chat, Chris up in Modesto said exactly the same thing. As we were starting this discussion, before we said it, she said it before all of us, which was we should stop giving the federal government money, period. And that's the exact statement. When we say we, of course, we mean the states. People through our states, because we are our states. That's the reason why in the 10th Amendment it says the states are the people, is because we are the states. That is who we are. We are our states, and we have not kept up with our responsibilities. We have allowed this to happen. So first of all, we've got to – like I use my example of the raft rowing down the Niagara River heading for the falls. And first of all, we got to grab the oars and start rowing in the opposite direction. We got to get this stopped and turn in a different direction. Here's the problem. Every time we start to do that, we go, all right, we stopped it, and we put down the oars. So the problem is the current starts pushing us right back towards the falls. It's got to be a continual process. Jane, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
I would just like to add one thing.
Thank you for letting me.
Oh, you know what? Mr. Mobley wants to tell you one more thing.
I think you'd love reading my book because it is an irrefutable argument for coalescing as a convention. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah. One more thing, the Constitution is the solution.
There you go. Constitution is the solution. All right. We've got a break coming up, our second and final break of the show. We got Jasmius hanging out on Skype, itching and ready to roll. And we've got another caller waiting in the wings. All kinds of stuff happening. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
K-C-A-A.
Ready to begin that project. FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
Fearless, honest talk radio through the lens of the Constitution. You're listening to Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050, KCAA.
And welcome back, Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs, KCAA, AM 1050, KCAAradio.com, 888-909-1050, 888-909-1050. And, you know, Joe, I was pretty stunned that I made it on time today. I was in the big rig this morning, had to work, and I hadn't done anything to prepare for the show. I actually had my laptop with me on my lap, doing stuff to prepare for the show while I was waiting, like to get loaded with gravel or something. Or
not while you were driving.
Shh. Yeah, only at red lights. I'm a fast typist.
Right.
Short lights, but fast typist. No, well, actually, sometimes I will do stuff at red lights, seriously, on my phone. But no, not while I'm actually in motion. No, of course not. I would never do such a thing. Wink, wink, wink.
There's software out there that can help you.
Well, actually, I do have a voice recognition on the phone, and sometimes if I have a idea for an article to write, I'll hit the voice recognition and just talk it right into an email to myself. Problem is sometimes it spells the words kind of funny, but you know. One time Constitution came out constipation, and it really shocked me that my voice recognition would not recognize Constitution because, of course, it was made by, you know, conservative-type people, of course. But anyway, that said, Catherine is on
There's a joke somewhere. I just can't place my finger on it.
I thought it was funny. That's all that matters. As long as I'm laughing, that's all that matters.
We're all laughing, Doug.
Yeah, the problem. Laughing
behind our tears.
With me? With me? Please say it's with me. Catherine is waiting. Wow. Oh, what a rough show. You guys are rough. Catherine's on the line with us. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. That was funny. Okay.
See, I'm not the only one laughing.
My question actually has to do with education, which, the way I understand it, the federal government should not have any say in education process. That's the state's responsibility. So why is the federal government involved in Common Core and making a mandate that costs $16 billion nationwide, 90% of which is going to be paid by the states and local districts? How is the federal government doing that, demanding that we teach Common Core in our schools?
Well, it started with Nixon by allowing the NEA to be established, and then it got real roots under Bush Herschel Walker Senior or Bush Senior, by actually getting the governors together. And then Clinton started pushing this agenda of No Child Left Behind, but that didn't really get into place until Bush Junior. And then so it's very gradual process. I mean, if you think back in 1994 or 1993 when we were addressing Hillary Care, did you really believe that we would have nationalized health care as we were talking about this debate? No. But now we have nationalized education as well. They are very, as we talked earlier, they're very progressive in working their agenda forward. And as long as we continue to coalesce at the national level, they're going to constantly win. The only way that we'll actually have a roadblock and go back to the full checks and balances, because if you really look at the Federalist Papers, as well as the ratification debates, as well as even in the Constitutional Convention, itself, when they talked about this, the states were the last and final check and had an obligation in ensuring the federal government stayed within its boundaries. They had oversight responsibility. So that's why it is paramount that the states coalesce and actually start working in taking back these powers or giving them the powers that we feel they need to have and living within.
So the way to stop Common Core, especially from the federal levels, is to get our states under control.
Absolutely.
Is that writing to the governor, or is that writing to the legislation, the assembly of the state?
You know, I don't know who you are, Catherine, but you just gave me a great plug for my second book, because within my book I actually have statements of facts that I've asked people as leaders throughout the states to go and petition all official government officials, political appointees, and so forth, anybody that puts their arm to the square and says, I will protect and defend the Constitution, the capacity of my job, they have to be held accountable, and you have to basically hold them to petitioning their state legislatures, because it's the state legislature that has to agree to convening a convention and reaching out to the rest of the states. And so I'm basically asking everybody to go to your sheriff, go to your school boards, and that may be a lost battle there, but still go to them and let them know they're going to be held accountable for not holding up to their oath. Go to your city council, go to your mayor, go to anybody, again, at the local level who holds their arm at the square and says the oath of protecting and defending the Constitution. And you can – it's a five-page statement of fact, and there's also these petitions that they will sign, and they'll give it back to you, and you can send it up. And as the state legislature starts getting overwhelmed by these petitions for them to convene a convention, they may actually start taking this seriously, but I can guarantee you in 30 states quickly they will.
Well, and what you're saying is the way to do it is with numbers.
Absolutely. And not – so how did our framers actually convene a constitutional Congress? It was through representation. It wasn't because they had this big vote across all these states. It was the representatives working together, recognizing the tyrannical threat, because the tyranny wasn't spread equally amongst the colonies. Some faced different types of tyranny. And so as they started recognizing this, they said, you know what? We have the responsibility as the representatives for our people to basically do the right thing. And so they created the Constitutional Congress, which then created the Declaration of Independence, and you know the rest of history. So it's the representatives that actually have the power, and that's all we have to really focus on. A lot of people think we need to educate everybody, but I guarantee you, as this starts moving forward, people will be forced to get educated on this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. We enjoy the show.
Well, thank you, Catherine.
The question becomes, where did the Department of Education come from? You know, what good has it done? Is there statistical evidence?
There's statistical evidence that education has actually basically fallen into the cellar since the Department of Education has been created.
So how do they justify it, you know?
Well, it really started back in the 1800s.
Well, let me answer this question real quick. They justify it the same way they justify all other progressive policies, not by what it's done or what it hasn't done, but because of what it can do or what it's supposed to do. That's how they justify it.
As a teacher, I had a principal. I had a vice principal. I had department chairs. I had a district board of education. I had a county board of education, a state board of education. And then they create another level of supervision. I got years and years and years of college and experience and training. And I'd like to know why the heck I'm supposed to have all those levels of supervision. What good are they?
Because you can't be trusted. You don't believe in the progressive agenda.
That must be it. Yeah, I think, I think you're right.
Some of you think I'm joking. I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. Hey, Joe, is Jasmius with us?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, bring him in. I'm curious about his take on this. Plus, we've got a couple of segments we need to go to. I want to keep Mr. Mobley with us, but we do have a few things we need to do before we end this show. But, Jasmius, I'm sure you've been listening to this whole thing. And what's your take? Are we doomed?
Go Niners.
go Niners?
He's been saying that on hold for the past 49 minutes.
Yeah, because everybody...
We got five rings!
Yeah, because everybody knows that Jasmius is a Chargers fan.
Are you looking on the Ustream feed?
Yeah, Seabats? Is that what that says, Seabats?
No.
Yeah,
no, it's the 2005 NFC Seattle Seabats.
Seattle Seabats?
Is that a hockey team?
I think so. No. I think that's a lingerie football league team.
You know why I like Seattle? Because it has the word eat in it.
Yeah. No, the first question is it raining up there?
You have to look out the window.
Sorry, Jasmine. We've been talking Constitution. All right, for all of you listeners going, get back on the topic.
Right. I will laugh with you as long as your constipation remains just metaphorical.
Jasmine,
as soon as it becomes literal, all bets are off, buddy.
Jasmine, how important are the states in this equation?
Well, just to get to the reason as to why the first of all, it's the Department of Education, that was under Jimmy Carter, came out of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, which was Great Society, so that probably explains a whole lot. But why they justify their continued existence? Well, that's easy. They just need more money.
Well,
it doesn't work. The reason it always fails is they don't have enough money. You just can throw enough money at it, miraculously, sometime way off in the future, it'll start working.
Yeah, because a lust for power isn't in there. That would never cross their mind.
Oh no! Well, they love lust, just in a different context.
Now, our last part of the show, book of the week. Normally, have a book of the week. The book of the week is J.R. Mobley's book, "We the People." Whose Constitution is it anyway? How do they find the book?
They can go to my website, www.mobiusstrippress.com. It's MOBIUS, if you understand what a Mobius strip is, STRIPPRESS.com. You can also just put the title name into Amazon. You can buy it there as well. And you can get the ebook from Gartner, the iBookstore, Amazon Kindle, Sony, and so forth. There's like 12 different distributors of the ebook.
Okay. When you were doing all that, I got to thinking that when you said strip, all of my leftist listeners got all excited. But
would Mobius Loop be better?
No. Mobius Strip. No. If you look at the website, you'll find it's a five-sided Mobius strip, which means it's a continuous relative surface.
You're
or
not saying this battle is going to be continuous till the day we die.
Well, actually, liberty has been continuous.
Well, it is actually, because it's like I tell people, progressivism is just like crime and poverty. You ask any cop, the war on crime will never be beaten. Crime will always be with us. Poverty will always be with us. However, you can beat it back. You can weaken it. And yeah, that's the goal.
I always thought it was like herpes. It's just something that never goes away.
Come on, Joe. Give it to us.
There's your show.
I just lost what few listeners were left. No,
it is raining up there.
No, you just lost the left. That's why I said Mobius Loop, because that would calm down all our left-wing listeners.
Well, and then the Constitution Quest question of the week. ConstitutionQuest.com, the board game that teaches you the Constitution when you play it. The question of the week comes off of one of the game cards. Question of the week comes off of one of the game cards. And I know two of you know the answer to this for sure. One of you probably knows the answer to this, and one of you
And then he looks at me.
I look over at Joe, and one of you have no clue whatsoever. I decided to keep it easy. It's a math question, actually. Jeez. Okay, you ready?
Go for it.
Comes off of the game. How many states of the original 13 were needed to approve the Constitution?
Do we raise our hand?
No, I want Joe to go first. He complained he didn't get to go first last time. It was the one time he finally knew the answer, and I didn't let him go first.
I'll say all of them.
Okay. And the choices, by the way, are 7, 9, or all 13, so he chose all 13. What about you, Alex?
Well, I always get it wrong, so I'll say 13.
just because you want to stay in that crowd? Jasmius.
That's awesome.
Well, actually, the correct answer is not in any of the options you mentioned.
Sure it is.
Yes, it is. It's 9.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is. It's 9.
13? Because 3/4 of 13 ain't 9.
No, no, but...
ain't a word.
Understand that.
Now you said...
It's better than that.
You said this was a math question, and that's the math.
Oh, jeez. Just go back and watch Star Trek or something, will you?
It's 9. However, they still wanted to have Virginia.
Well, I wanted to have Virginia, and I married her. Oh, you meant the state. Never mind. Okay.
They're back to old Virginia.
All right, yeah, it's 9. And here's a thing to think about, too. Here's the thing. It wasn't unanimous. It wasn't unanimous. Like our juries. Joe, you okay? You're so quiet.
At least it wasn't 2.
We'd be in big trouble.
More ways than one.
Like Rhode Island.
Normally I would spend the time explaining that answer, but we don't have that kind of time.
That'd be more like half, wouldn't it?
Now, Jasmius and I foresaw the fact that the final, just stay away from
all
the dark side.
All is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Jeez. See, and I always said that Joe was the comic relief. But anyway, we foresaw.
Call that comedy?
No, his comic relief is just unintentional.
Well, his comic relief is like the poor man's comedy. Yours was the Star Trek comedy. Or Star Wars. Sorry, wrong franchise.
You can't even keep Star Wars and Star Trek straight. Call yourself a geek?
Wait a second. Straight? Are we allowed to say that in this gay world state? Anyway, we foresaw that this would happen. There would be no room for the 5 big stories. And so what we did is on American Daily Review. Oh, stop it. I saw you hiding behind your forehand.
No, that's called a face palm.
Well, we foresaw that we wouldn't have time for the 5 big stories. So what we did is on American Daily Review Radio, blogtalkradio.com/AmericanDailyReview, at noontime for about a little over an hour, we went over, well, actually about half an hour because we spent the first half hour talking about something else. But about an hour, I guess, went over those 5 big stories. I will tell you what they were. And you can listen to that podcast to find out our reactions, what we had to say. Story number 5, Mark Levin says boycott the State of the Union. What a great idea. I love that.
As in the GOP boycotting.
Yeah, exactly. Story number 4, the IRS not guilty at Tea Party targeting.
Well, they're not. The FBI is refusing to investigate the IRS by preemptively clearing. They're not going to file any criminal charges. They've already just said, we're not going to file any criminal charges. Nothing to find here. Move along.
Next one is a very huge story, a very well-fed story, matter of fact. Chris Christie, Bridgegate, and the run for the presidency.
Saw that coming. A mile away.
Oh, you're the comic relief, man.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm only funny on accident. Story number 2, Benghazi attack was preventable. You think?
Well, what made that noteworthy is that came out of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
And Joe, by the way, said, make peace.
In other words, the coast is clear. They can start admitting what we've known for the past year and a half.
Make peace, not war.
That's giving you the finger.
No, you gave me 2 fingers.
Oh, yeah. But
you gave me 2 fingers. If I wanted to see that kind of those kinds of gestures, I'd just go drive on the L.A. freeways. Story number 1.
Boris.
Story number one, Barack Obama. I've got a pen and I've got a phone.
He's got office supplies.
Yeah, Article 1, Section 1 means nothing to him. And in other words, definitely check out American if you want to get a chance to see what we had to say about it. It's time to wrap this all up. So, Jasmine, plug yourself.
Go plug yourself.
Art Starbird Radio, blogtalkradio.com/HSR Network, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Go Niners.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, united we stand, combined we kick butt.
Joe's kissing his biceps. Just get him out of it.
United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America. God bless you. Read what I and Jasmius writes at politicalpistachio.com. And, of course, Mobius Strip Press. Go get the book. We'll see you next Saturday. Don't miss next Saturday. We've got the San Bernardino County Sheriff candidate, Paul Schrader, right here. See you then.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For this afternoon, it'll be sunny and warm with a high of 82. Overnight, we'll have clear skies at a low of around 50. Sunday continues to be sunny and warm with a high of 81. We'll have clear skies Sunday night with a low of 48. For Martin Luther King Day on Monday, we'll have sunny skies and a high of 80. Monday night, it'll be clear on low of 53. Tuesday continues to be sunny and warm with a high near 80. Wednesday, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 80. Again, for this afternoon, we'll have sunshine, our high 82. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Achoo. Cold and flu season is here again. Hi, I'm Gary Garver. If your nose is all stuffed up and congested, do what I do. Pick up some Pressure Ease Nasal Mist. Pressure Ease helps clear ear and sinus canals, and it works fast. Pressure Ease is all natural and preservative-free. That's right, no drugs, no additives, no preservatives. Pressure Ease is sealed in a special bottle that keeps it clean and fresh. Use Pressure Ease in the morning and again at night just before bedtime and watch it work. Pressure Ease Nasal Mist, that's spelled PRESSUREZE.com. Get your Pressure Ease now at Whole Food Markets and other health food stores. You can also get it online at Amazon.com or PressureEase.com, where shipping is free. Don't wait for sinuses to happen. Buy Pressure Ease now. That's PRESSUREZE.com. And make sure you use Pressure Ease when you fly, too, because Pressure Ease helps clear ear and sinus canals fast.
There's a growing army of the working poor.